You about ready? This is Marty Ford coming to you live from on BBSRadio.com, located in the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawatt Station. We are here for your hour of power to empower before you shower. That's what we do here. We empower you. We make you think critically, to think about what's going on in your world. Because how many times has someone come to you after you've done something, maybe not the brightest thing in the world, and why'd you do that, man? I said, you know, I just wasn't thinking. Well, this is what we want to do. We want to empower you. We want you to be able to fight boredom. We want you to be able to go out and play and retain a little molecule of your person that lets you be a kid. Because what do kids do best? They play. We don't always do that with them and for them, because we have to oversee them and micromanage their worlds. We don't send them out to play. And speaking of play, tonight, for the first time in 2 weeks, because of the Christmas holiday break, I didn't say holiday season, I said Christmas, because that's the way we go here. The Christmas break, when the schools were closed, we couldn't get into the gyms. They are locked down, tight, sealed, unavailable when they're most needed. Why? Because the kids are home from school, and some people get a couple days off from work, and especially on the weekends and at night, open up the building. Use it. We pay for it. Our taxes pay for it. We'll sign waivers. We'll keep the lawyers and the insurance companies happy. But just let us play. It's been 2 weeks since I've run with the guys, and tonight we had a big turnout. Guys were there half an hour early, waiting, because there were some people there earlier on their time, to get out so we could get in the gym and play. There wasn't a lot of small talk, just make up teams and let's run. Banging bodies, sweating, competing, diving for loose balls, playing hard. We miss that stuff. We need it. Even at my age, the guys are kind to the old and feeble, because most of them are in their 20s and 30s, a few 40s, a couple of touch 50, but no one near me at 63. And they're kind to the old and feeble, and they let me play even if I don't bring the ball. But you know what? I do have aches and pains. But the pain of not playing is far worse than any pain I had learned to endure. 2 weeks without running. I mean, you can be on the treadmill. You can go for a walk, a hike, for a long walk, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles. But there's nothing like hanging with the guys, being out there, sweating, playing, doing the things you love to do because you've been doing them since you were a kid. Right? So many people go through and say, well, why do you have problems? What happened when you were a kid? As opposed to saying something more positive, you're doing this now. Why? Because I did it when I was a kid, and I like doing that. So why do we stop doing those things, right? We don't take care of ourselves. Maybe we get a little wounded, and we get reluctant or hesitant to go out there. We can't compete the way we did 30, 40 years ago, but you can find something to do. Mine, it's basketball and soccer, and I'll go out there as long as they let me in the gym. The other guy, and as long as I'm able to contribute in some way by doing maybe the small things that others do, but they'd rather shoot the ball, score the points, and you know, get some high fives along the way. That's fine. Everybody has a role to play. That's why they call it a team. Watch it. Successful teams have people doing what they do best and a little bit more. And that's the way you should approach life. Find things. You know, I heard some very good advice from a college guidance counselor or something. Said, take what you like, you'll do well. Very simple premise. Take what you like, you'll do well. Do what you do best, whatever that is. Maybe even earn a living. Turn a hobby into a vocation, into a business, into a business. Do what you do best and a little bit more. Prior to going on the show, speaking of basketball, basketball gave birth to a cliche. We'll talk about cliches in a minute or two. The big three. Well, I do my big three prior to going on the air on BBSRadio.com live Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time zone, where we are in the midst. We are right in the heart and the soul and the belly and the gut of the Arctic Vortex. Which has been explained, defined, written about, and discussed, and none of us know what it is. But you had to give it a name, giving it something that it explains this humongous cold mass of air that has plunged down on covering maybe two-thirds of the country as far down as the deep south. We know people down there in the deep, deep south, and it's in the teens and single digits in some places. With the wind chill, which I can never figure out how that means, what that means and how they calculate it, all I know, cold is cold, hot is hot, and I'd rather be hot because you can. It's easier to get cool when you're hot than it is to get warm when you're cold. But anyway, it's cold out there. It's single digits tonight, but the guys showed up to play, right? They came early, and they came in numbers, and we had a great run. I'm a little achy in the knee, so when I was doing my three-play, because I do a three-play before the show goes on with Joe Cocker, Steve Winwood, and Journey. That's my three-play. I can't do four-play. I'm too old for that. But I do my three-play, and it gets me in the groove. My body shakes. My body rolls. I do a little bit of this, and I do a little bit of that. It gets me in the groove. It gets my spiritual connection to you out there and to what I'm about to say and present to you each week. That's how I prepare. And part of empowerment is having that spiritual connection where you create the rules. You and so forth, and you have to have something to believe in and follow, even though in the name of religion, millions and millions and millions, even today in our world, where I just read, religious and ethnic cleansing. Cleansing is just another word for killing, right? In the Philippines, the Muslims are killing everybody else. There were 60,000 I read today. But even in the name of religion, so many people have died. Why? I don't know. If there's an all-loving and being God or someone you pray to, whatever you want to call it. So let's get rid of that. Unfortunately, it's hard to do because everybody thinks their way is the best way. And remember, there's your way, my way, his way, her way, their way, everybody else's way, and then there's the right way. And what's right for you has to work for you. You make it work for you, right? It's just like medicine. There's 50 medicines for all kinds of ailments. You got to find the one that's right for you. Kids spend hours, months, weeks, whatever, long periods of time, and a lot of money on application fees, non-refundable, thank you very much. What a business that is. Colleges with their application offices just churning away fees and fees. 10,000 applicants for 1,000 seats at $50 or $75 a pop. That's a big cash flow, right? But you have to find what works for you, right? And your doctor will do. He'll try this medicine, that medicine. Whatever one works for you, use it, right? If it's helping you. If not, they'll make changes or you suggest changes. But that's what life's about. Little experimentation, little trial and error, and finally you settle in on what's right for you. So we have the Arctic vortex. It is very cold out there. Car doors are frozen, won't open. I'm sure there are people whose cars didn't start because the starting mechanism known as the battery is maybe a little weak and took a big hit last night on the first blast of this Arctic vortex. In fact, it's so cold out there that the politicians are walking around with their hands in their own pockets instead of yours and mine. And these are the people we pay. These are the people for whom we provide insurance and pensions and expense accounts. And they are living off our hard work, and they even vote themselves a pay raise. Not 1.2%, or 1.4%, but usually a little higher up in the single digits, maybe even reaching 4, 5, 6, 7%. While we have to receive, if you're lucky, a lot of people haven't had a pay raise in several years, maybe not even a COLA, cost of living pay raise, but when they vote themselves a pay raise, a lot of times it's retroactive. So again, we're working to pay them, and what are we getting for it? We're getting Obamacare, and no one knows what it's about. Doctors being dropped from plans, people being dropped from plans. What's going on? They reached a million people to register or something, but we don't know what the full impact of it is. I don't think anyone does, yet we are still paying for this. And I say, and you've heard me say this before on the radio several times over the past few months, I'll have what they're having, just like when you go to a restaurant. I'll have what you're having. Looks good. It works for you. I'll have it too. Why can't we have the same health insurance? Medicare and Medicaid, the infrastructure is already there, just has to be cleaned up a little. So the 20 to 30% of the money set aside for that attributed to graft, corruption, bribes, and so forth, is cleaned a little. Even if we clean it up halfway, we're still making a lot of money. Right? So why can't we have what they have? Because we pay for them forever. They're like the Pope. They get it for life. So when are we going to have a little bit of a revolution and just stand back and say, hey, listen, man, I'll have what you're having. No questions asked. Just do it for everybody. By the people, of the people, by the people, and for the people. Priority three to get me in the mood to get going now. And first, we usually start with critical thinking, because when you're empowered, you are thinking critically. You are making right choices. You are living right. You are making decisions based on a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of insight, some information, some gut feelings, little experience, and it usually turns out for the best. Remember, think long and think wrong. But the reality is, there's a cliche. You want to think critically to do the best you can do for yourself and those in your world. Last week's brain buster, we call them brain busters, but it's really a test of critical thinking, where the two kids were going for a job interview. And they filled out the forms, and during the interview with the manager, they were asked, the manager said, you know, I see you two have the same name, the same last name, same hair color, eye color, looks like you have the same basically height and weight, skin color, whatever it is, skin tone, address, parents, and you look like twins. Are you two twins? And they both say at the same time, no, we're not twins. And the guy says, wow, you know, man, we really honor honesty here. We don't want people coming in under false pretenses. And if you're not telling the truth here, what are you going to do when you get out on the floor working with the people, the customers? How can I trust you handling money if you're not going to tell the truth right here? And they both vehemently and adamantly say, but sir, we are not twins. Yes, we have the same last name. We have the same birthday, same hospital, same address, same parents, same hair color, eye color, skin tone, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not twins. And he said, boy, you know, I just can't hire you. If you're not going to be honest and tell the truth, I can't hire you. Well, why wouldn't you hire us? Because you're not telling the truth. But we are telling you the truth. And they go back and forth, back and forth. And finally, as they're shaking hands and leaving, and the manager says, geez, I'm sorry it didn't work out. I really liked you two on paper, and I even like you in person, but this truth and honesty bit, I just can't live with. And they say, well, we feel bad for you because we were telling you the truth. We were answering your question because your question said, are you two twins? And we said, no, we're not. We just didn't happen to finish the statement, the answer to that question, because it wasn't asked. We are not twins. We're triplets. The third one is at home, working in a different place. So you see how the language works? And you got to be careful out there, right? I want to get married, just not to you. I've heard that said. Terrible, right? People use that stuff. Be careful what is not said. Be careful when someone says, well, let me be honest with you, or to be perfectly honest with you. Your red flags on your ears should go up. Bing! What's going on? You're going to be honest with me now? Well, up until now, what have you been doing? Lying? Manipulating? Misspeaking? That's the buzzword around town when people of influence get caught lying. I misspoke. Another cliche that we'll talk about later. So anyway, the kids were telling the truth. They weren't going to get the job. They finally told the full story that they are triplets, and they got the job, long story short. No, makes no difference. But you also want to know that you have to probe and probe and probe if you're seeking answers and, more importantly, truth. So that's last year's, this is a new year. 2014 is right here. This week's Brain Buster is a little bit more in-depth. You have to think about this a little. The first four or five, because there are 10 answers to this. The first four or five are, you'll get them right away. The next four or five are a little bit more in detail, and you really have to go inside yourself, literally, to figure that out. There are 10 body parts. Each word is only three letters. Now, right away, a couple of them come to your mind. But give it some time and give it some thought. Write them down and see how it goes. Right? And if you want to call up bbsradio.com, 888-627-6008, 887-627-6008. If you want to send me an email with the answer, as many as you can get of the 10, it's hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. So that's our brain buster and critical thinking. Now we're going to move on to what? Clichés. I thought of this cliche, and there's a big elaboration on it because I am guilty now because our kids are older. But how many times have you heard and used, especially if you have kids who did little sports or in school, everybody's out there and they say, good job, good job, good job, good job. Oh, you put your shoes on, good job. Oh, you brush your teeth, good job. Oh, you sharpen your pencil, good job, way to go, you're great, you're good. Aren't we raising our kids who hear this almost from birth, when usually the father says to the mother or the baby, good job, and the nurses and doctors, yeah, good job giving birth. And meanwhile, she's a wreck out there, all body distorted, laid out, sweating and crying and laughing and smiling at the same time. The emotional roller coaster is incredible in childbirth. If it was up to men, there'd never be another kid born in the world, right? Because we just can't handle that. Women are built different, right? We've talked about the difference between men and women, just like we've talked about differences of many things. And I think I have one to include later on in the show. But the kids keep hearing that stuff. Good job. The kid's a little baby lying in his crib. And, you know, babies, when they lie in their crib, they got their legs up in the air and their arms are flailing a little bit. And then they try to stuff their fist in their mouth, and they're doing Tai Chi with their fingers when their eyes are looking at it and all this stuff. And the parents, good job, good job. You know, ooh, everything's a good job, right? You can't see that too clearly on the radio because they're on the radio. But next time you're around an infant, watch how they maneuver their hands and feet and all. It's very entertaining, very funny. But we just overpower these kids with good job. They're constantly rewarded verbally and with goody, goody, treat, treats, goody bags, and all the other things, thinking as they grow up, they're as good as everybody's telling they are, right? And that's really a false sense of, not even security, but it's a false sense of self. We're building up kids, and later as they get older into the middle school and high school ages, when reality sets in, when they're just one of 50 salutatorians, valedictorians who got accepted to a school, a little humbleness comes in because they don't know. In order to know what's good, you have to experience bad. How do you know what success is unless you fail? And it's only a failure if you don't learn from it and grow from it and move on from it and overcome it and not sit and feel sorry for yourself and play the pity game and the blame game. So good job. You know, you hear it in Little League sports all the time. Good job. But, you know, back off from it. It's over you. The kids, they hear it and then they believe it. Because, you know, we get to know who we are from what other people tell us. Someone says, that's a nice shirt. You might wear it again. Someone says, oh, your hair looks good. You might wear it that way again, too, whatever it is. Right? So we get to know who we are from what others tell us. And if we're constantly rewarding kids with the good job cliche syndrome, they're going to think everything they do should be or is a good job. Right? More cliches for tonight. Just a few. Push the envelope. We got to push the envelope. Well, I don't know what that means. Envelopes are very easy to push. In fact, a baby in the crib could push an envelope when they're doing some Tai Chi. But I don't know what that is. Extend yourself. Go. What you're really doing is you're trying to do what you do best and a little bit more. But we give it a cliche and we just repeat it and repeat it, and it has no meaning. We're pushing the envelope. It doesn't have any purpose anymore because it's lost its power of definition and value. So stop pushing the envelope. Do what you do best. And, of course, always a little bit more. The whole nine yards? I don't know what the whole nine yards are, right? Because it takes 10 to get a first down and keep the drive going, right? That's what the 10-yard. Nine is an odd number, right? It reminds me of a thing in how many feet in a yard? Well, there's 3 feet. That's the answer. But then when you think about it, all of us know somebody with 2 feet that won't fit in anybody's yard. Guy got some big feet, but I don't know what the whole nine yards is. If he ate the whole pizza, he'd say he ate the whole pizza, right? So I don't know what the whole nine yards is. Maybe somebody out there can explain it, but it's overused. And let's find something else. See, we use cliches. I treat cliches like profanity, curse words, and inappropriate language, because they're overused. They're they become rote. They become automatic. You can almost predict what people are saying with them. Here it comes, the cliche of the day, right? And we have a whole list of cliches that I've talked about before, and they become our everyday vernacular. And that's not good, because it takes away creativity. And when you're empowered, you have some form of creativity, right? You have some form, even if it's just thinking, critical thinking, right? Which is creative, right? So we just fall back into a comfort zone, like comfort food, right? We eat all our comfort foods, too much of them, which is why we have to buy larger clothes, right? And we have this problem with obesity and so forth. The cutting edge. I know what a cutting board is. It's a board you put food on and you cut it. But the cutting, and I try to stay away from the edge, because if the knife hits the edge and my finger is there, part of the salad is going to have some flesh in it. And I don't want that, and no one else does. But I don't know what the cutting edge is. Technology, I think. The cutting edge, the state of the art, right? That's what that is. Those two go together. The state of the art. When you're talking about products and you're talking about art, I think they're almost, art is something you go and appreciate, especially for people like me. All I can do is thank the artist for letting me visit where they live, because I can't do that. But I'm not going to another state of the art. Is that like Wyoming has its own art? Maybe, because it's out west and there's a lot of ranchers and cow folk, and as opposed to Massachusetts or Alabama or something like that. Which state has which art? The state of the art? Is it a guy named Art? What's his state? Is it the state where he lives? Or is it a state of his condition, right? What's he doing? His work, his job, his family, his health, his hobbies, his interests, his likes, his dislikes. What state is he in, right? Usually we're in the state of confusion, because we don't know what the hell's going on in our life. Why? Because we're followers, right? We're a Me Too people. And I don't want you to be a Me Too. When you're empowered, you are not a Me Too person. When everyone's going left, you're going right, and vice versa. Do that. If everyone's wearing a blue shirt, wear a green shirt. If everyone's having a hamburger, have a bowl of cereal. Don't be the follower. Be a leader. You have the power to do that. And when you're empowered, when you're critically thinking, when you're not bored and frustrated and following the crowd, you have self-worth. You have the ability to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And not just the ability, you actually do. Because out of your mind is the world of cliché, not just in language, but in actions, the world of cliché. And that's what we're trying to do, enlighten you about this stuff and enrich your world and enhance your world, leading to what? Empowering your world. That's where you want to go. The good job thing, I just wanted to finish up before we move on. I remember when the kids were little, they played in town recreational basketball, and it was fun. That's all it was. And some kids learned and moved on, most of them just for fun. And that's a good job, good job, good job. And if you didn't know the kid's name, good job, 6, good job, 9. We don't know the kid's name, so we use a number on the back of his shirt, right? And that's the way we go, because we don't know everybody. But I remember one time when I was watching a championship game between two teams. My team wasn't in it, so I was a spectator, which was fine, because I took our son to watch his friends play, knowing that he and his team wanted to be out there, but that's another story. We did get there the following year and win the whole thing. But at this particular game, I was standing with the father of one of the boys whose team lost the championship game. And the father wanted to get the kid out of there pretty quickly, because there was a lot of cars and traffic, and they had to get to his mother's house for dinner or something. Right? So he said, "Yo, let's go. We're out of here. Cross the gym." You know, maybe 70, 80 feet long and just as wide. Big gym, maybe 150 people there. And he yelled across, "Yo, man, let's go." And the kid, without even batting an eye, said, "Wait, we have to get our trophies." The father went through the roof. That's a 30-foot roof. Why did he go through the roof? He yelled at his kid, "Trophy? What trophy? You came in second. There's no trophy for second. It's not a horse race. You lost. Let's get over it. Move on. You didn't do a good job. You didn't win. You didn't achieve your goal. So let's move on. But no, we have to pander to the kids. We have to continually reinforce false sense of success. So this trophy said second place. And I know they get them a lot in all kinds of places, but we have to start teaching reality to the kids. And not everything they do is a good job, because when they get to higher levels of life in their teens and 20s and 30s, and they're going to meet reality where, hey, it's not a good job. You're not getting a pay raise. Hey, you're not getting a promotion. Hey, you might not be working here tomorrow. You didn't do everything was a good job. So let's start treating the kids a little bit more with reality, what they're going to face in the future, which is not the prettiest scene in the world. But when you're prepared, it's easier. When you prepare your kids for the future, just like you prepared your kids prior to going to nursery or preschool. Why? What'd you do? Hopefully you did. I know many people do. When they went to those preschool classes and they got to kindergarten, they knew their numbers, shapes, colors, and letters, and animals. Why? Because someone spent time with them reading books over and over again, or they were watching Sesame Street or things like that, which is fine. Not all day, for an hour or so, for educational purposes, which is good, and some fun, right? Because those shows teach you fun. Why? What do? They jump rope, they skip, hop, ride bikes, climb, do all kinds of good, healthy physical activities. But what you should be doing is pulling your kid away from that and getting your kid out there and playing as much as possible, especially in the younger years. There's no reason that, actually, there's no excuse, because reasons explain success and excuses define failure, right? There is no absolute excuse for anyone letting their kids sit in front of the black brainwashing box for hours on end, whatever they're doing, gaming or TVing, and zoning into space somewhere when they should be out playing. Because many life lessons are learned on the field of play. Previous cliches. I wanted to get those. Fight tooth and nail. And I elaborated on these, but I just want to reintroduce them a little bit. Fight tooth and nail. Our thoughts and prayers go out. We don't even know who the people are. Bring to the table. Utilize. Impact. Hell bent. I'm hell bent, good buddy. For what? I don't know. Same place. Same page. Not same place. We're on the same page, right? Well, I don't know. I don't go that fast, or I move slower than you. I don't know what the same page is, right? You don't want to be. I don't want to be on your page. You're far behind. I'm going to accelerate. I'm going to move on. Transparency. We hear that in government. Everything's transparent. Yet we still have all the. Every day you read something where there's another form of scandal and corruption. And I just read today something about a this in Spain. The princess of Spain has been charged with fraud and money laundering. She's a princess. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's a family trait, a condition. Who knows? But another leader, position of power, authority, trust, fiduciary responsibility probably, right? Boom. Abusing it and taking from the people who put them in power. Happens all over the world every day. At the end of the day, right, just count the number of times you hear that in the course of the day, at the end of the day. And the same thing with amazing. Everything is amazing, especially on TV. Step it up, ramp it up, dial it up, amp it up, right? Makes me want to throw up. Level playing field, fusion, artisan, handcrafted, hand-dipped. That's usually ice cream, right? Well, I used to make ice cream. We're going to talk about ice cream a little later, too. I never wanted to dip my hands in that stuff. Give me a scooper. Right, and whether I'm a customer or a serving, critical mass. I don't know if that's with religion. It's critical that you be there. A gastropub infused, flat out. He was flat out running like crazy. Boots on the ground. We got some boots on the ground over there, boys. And I think we might have to go back to Fallujah because we lost that. They're losing that again over there. Went in there 5 years or something. How long we were there? We just blew in there with the tanks, rolled them out. And rolled them over and put everybody in harm's way, out of the way, spent hundreds of billions of dollars. And what? Now they locals can't control it. So now we might have to go back in and support. Maybe with not our soldiers, probably not, but maybe. You never know. Because remember, we're going to pull them out of Iraq a few years ago. with everybody cheering, yay, they're going to Iraq, yay, they're going to Iraq. Where'd they go? They came out of Iraq, made a left turn, went to Afghanistan, if my geography is correct. Depends on what side of the map I'm looking on. Work out the kinks. I got a lot of those, man. I'm standing, I'm walking around doing the show live on bbsradio.com. You about ready? And I am about ready. I'm not about ready to play until Thursday night. I'll be ready again, physically and mentally, I hope. The reality is, well, I don't know what the reality is. Real is real, fake is fake, fraud is fraud. And I think we have a lot of the latter than more than the former. To be honest with you, we talked about that. And when the dust settles, unless you're in the Wild West, there ain't no dust anymore. Now there's the Arctic vortex and snow and ice and coal. And, of course, the favorite one used by people who play that poker on TV, all in. Usually a problem for a lot of guys who need the tiny blue pill to get them all in, right? Oh, this is just plain dumb. Going on out of, you know, we talk about protection, especially if you're trying to get all in today's world with various illnesses and diseases out there. But we don't protect ourselves. And like there was a movie out about this a while back or recently. How do you go out on an ocean on a big ship in the middle of nowhere without guns to protect you? Right? Because the pirates are out there, not Jack Sparrow. Right? The bad guys are there. So just a little bit of smarts goes a long way. Right? Nobody thinks about that until after the fact, right? No ball. 2 weeks and no ball. Going through withdrawal. Waiting for the call. Come on, y'all. Time to play. School's back open after Christmas delays. We all did play. We all did pray to once again play. As you know about this subject, I have much more to say, and I already did. Just wrote a little bit of poem about that because play is so important. We got to let the kids play. Have to let the kids play. Got to let the kids play. Let them go play on their own without us interfering. They'll have more fun. They'll learn more life skills, and you'll be better off because you don't have to hover over them. You can go play yourself, and let's get the schools open like I mentioned in the opening. Let's get them open so that we can use them when school's not in session all year long. We pay the bills. Why not use it? We pay the politicians. Why can't we have what they have? Where is all this expenditure of money going? And we're getting very little in return for ourselves. Yes, the kids' education is important. Yes, we need to have leaders, I guess, because we need taxation with representation, even though it's not much better than taxation without representation, because everything seems to be a tax, except the winnings from my national healthcare lottery plan that's going to pay for national health care for everybody. All the winnings will be taxed. I've already spoken about that. If you want to talk about that some more, give us a call at bbhradio.com, 888-627-6008, or email me at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. 2014, time to get lean. Forget the resolutions. They are not your solutions. You won't succeed. Won't be able to do the deed. Take the lead. It's up to you. That's who. 30 minutes a day just for you. Exercise, workout, meditate. After a short time, you won't hesitate. You'll want more. Even in the cold, wind, rain, and snow, you'll be out the door. Not driving to the store, but walking, jogging, running, and biking. Once or twice on the weekend, you'll go hiking. Everything to your liking. Having reasons to define your success. Throw away the scale. The results will show when you get dressed and your clothes are loose, sagging, and falling down, like the way the kids wear them, walking around throughout the town. 2014, get lean. You don't have to be mean. There's too much meanness and anger out there, right? There's too much meanness and anger, and I know, anger, lots of folks with anger issues. There was a song a long time ago, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. We're trying to do that through empowerment to get you critically thinking so that you can accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And I know there's a lot of anger issues out there. So try this. You know, you get angry. In addition to coping skills, how about training yourself? And it takes time, because if I ask you to do 100 push-ups right now. Couldn't do it, but maybe you can do 5. Today's Tuesday. By Friday, maybe you can do 10. And a month, you can do 25. And in 3 months, you can do 50. And maybe in 6 months, you can train yourself to do 100 push-ups and like it because it makes you feel good about yourself. Builds up your confidence and self-esteem. You overcame an obstacle. You succeeded at something. Very simple thing. Just push-ups. But how about training yourself to direct your anger away from its source? Because we know what makes us angry. If we can direct our energy away from it and channel and harness our energy, thoughts, and behaviors on the positive, healthy things in life, right? Hard to do, especially in the young years, because you're not standing back for anybody. Someone confronts you, you're in their face. It's a disgrace, right? You're not going to win that race, right? So back away and go with your strength. Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative, right? Make a list. Here's the deal. Make a list of things that make you angry. Probably half a dozen, maybe 10 things. Then make a list of the good things in your life, the healthy, positive things that nurture you, that you tell other people to do as well, right? So you make your list. I guarantee it'll double, triple, quadruple, or more the number of items you have on your list of things that make you angry. It outnumbers it in many ways. So you can feel good about yourself. You can like yourself, and you can empower yourself, right? So there's anger out there. There's examples all day long. We know it's out there. For whatever excuse you're going to use to explain your anger, right, because an excuse is explained by failure, when anger is a failure on your part to cope, so whatever you have to do to cope, plus a little bit more by diverting your energy to healthy, positive things that make you feel good about yourself. There's no mystery to it, but we let ourselves get angry over little things, right? Little things, whatever it is, road rage, air rage, restaurant rage. Pretty soon it'll be airplane rage when they let people use the cell phones while the plane is in motion at 37,000 feet. I don't know how far that's going to go and how successful that'll be, but it's not good. And so we have to learn how to manage our anger. And by doing so, we can reduce and eliminate, or even hopefully eliminate it, which is hard to do, because we all have emotions and feelings and things get to us. But how you handle it, that defines success from non-success. And if you're empowered, you know what success is. You like that taste of honey. You're not going back to eating Sweet and Low or Equal or Splendor or whatever those fake things are that kills rats. You want the sweet stuff, right? Not the high fructose corn syrup that's in all the products out there. Right? Not the fake stuff. You want real stuff. Go to a maple sugaring. Get the sap out of the tree. You'll like that. Now, we also have tidbits of useless information, totally useless information. We've had many before, and we're going to talk about one. Heinz ketchup leaves the bottle and travels at 25 miles per hour. Isn't that something? Way back, Carly Simon had a song, Anticipation, and they tilted a bottle of ketchup, and it was so slow coming out of the bottle until it hit the hamburger, right? 25 miles is kind of fast. I can't walk, run, or bike that fast. In fact, I'm so slow, I have to speed up to stop. Time wounds all heals. Just like in time, eventually everything sells. You'll feel swell, knowing the bully is back in their place, faced with disgrace, no longer in your face. Now it is their turn to feel the wrath and pain they gave. You have survived. You are strong, courageous, and brave. No longer their slave. You yourself saved. You are like a new road, fresh and be on your way. While they, the bully, live a miserable life stuck in the past. They can't last. They move slowly while you move fast. The bully's the weakest one out there. Confront the bully with silence or walk away. The bully feels so low about themselves. In fact, they feel lower than whale dung in the ocean. That's how miserable their life is. And they want to look for somebody who they can make feel weaker than they do so that they're not at the bottom. So, confront the bully. Time wounds all heals, right? Just like in time, eventually everything sells, you'll feel swell. Knowing the bully is back in their place, faced with disgrace, no longer in your face. Now it is their turn to feel the wrath and pain they gave. You have survived. You are strong, courageous, and brave. No longer their slave. You yourself saved. You are like a new road, fresh and paved. Go now, be on your way. While they, the bully, live a miserable life stuck in the past. They can't last. They move slowly while you move fast. You move fast, not as far as speed is concerned, but you're going somewhere. There's only two places you can go in life. You can go somewhere and you can go nowhere. Given the choice, most people want to go somewhere. The bully has no self sense of self. They're just going through life on a daily basis, bullying, harassing, badgering, frustrating, annoying, hurting other people in very serious ways. And those victims go on, and sadly, when they become that way themselves, they repeat the cycle later in life, or maybe not so later in life. You got to break the cycle. There's too many people in recovery who fell prey and victim to the underworld of the abuse of substances and chemicals putting in their body to mask and hide the pain that the bully caused. Verbal, physical, sexual, emotional, whatever it is. The bullies do that. Let's get rid of the bullies. Let's not pander to them. I don't want to hear their sorry excuses. Remember, excuses explain failure. I don't want to hear that they didn't have a birthday party. I don't want to hear that no one played catch with them. I don't want to hear all that stuff. Smart, intelligent people who can read and write and understand and think, maybe not critically the way we're learning how to do here on You About Ready with Marty Ford live Tuesday nights on bbsradio.com. When you become empowered, maybe the bully hasn't reached that level, but maybe they need to take a time out away from everybody else so that we can feel safe and protected. That's why people don't send their kids to the playground to play by themselves. That's why 20 little ones, maybe middle school age and down, are at the park playing and have to be organized with uniforms and rosters and goodie bags and trophies and schedules and snack families and all the other stuff. We just can't let them play because the bullies are out there. And we want to protect our kids from that stuff. And that's a sad statement. Put the bullies away. Just like you got to free up the people in the marijuana and the weed, the ones who are in jail for possession of small stuff or the sale of small stuff. We got to get rid of them and put the bullies and the psychos and the wackos and the nuts in there and get them away from our mainstream people who just want to play and enjoy life and yet are almost sequestered in their basements and in their homes and their rooms in front of the black brainwashing box because we managed to sit there and not go out and play because we're afraid. When the towers went down, people didn't leave their houses, their home. We talked about the difference between a house and a home. They didn't leave because they were afraid, right? And that's not good. So you can't live in fear. When you live in fear, the bad guys win. And we got to get rid of the bullies. And that poem tonight, hopefully, is a catalyst for you to empower yourself not to fall victim to that, not to be one of theirs to tell, oh, yeah, I got you. Let's put the bullies away with all the other people who make this a miserable place and a dangerous place for us to live in. They exist. We want to live in this place. Ice cream. I used to make ice cream. You know, odd jobs, fill in, needed the money. Kids are little. Money was good, right? Did it when they were asleep. Used to work from like 9 at night till 6 or 7 in the morning. Then go to work, right, all day till 3 or 4. And then weekends I would do other stuff. But you don't have to do because you love your kids and your family. And eventually, sometimes things work out for the best. But just a little information about ice cream. Most ice cream that you buy local stores and all, regular stuff, stores as well, is 10 to 12% milk fat. That's where it comes. It comes in a 5-gallon plastic sack, and you pour it into the hopper, click the button, it starts to freeze. And then as it goes, you add stuff, the toppings and other ingredients, flavors and colors and all that in there, cookies, whatever it is. Well, that's regular ice cream, the store brand or the basic brand and stuff. But the fancy gourmet, exotic, expensive ice creams with all the taste and flavor and richness, you know what they could be? They could be 18 to 24% milk fat, almost but not quite double, depending on your numbers, the milk fat. Now, I can't drink 2% milk. Just doesn't sit right with me. I don't know if I have a lactose problem or not. I like skim milk. It has that little blue tinge to it when you put it in a white cereal bowl. But that's what I like, and that's what I prefer, and they tell us to eat fat-free, skim-free, skim milk, so it's healthier. So when you're putting 18 to 24% milk fat in a product, yes, it's going to have more flavor. And then you put the cookies and the candy and the sprinkles and the fudge and the caramel and the marshmallow, all that on top. Now you have like a $12 ice cream cone. And you also have about another inch around your waist if you do that on a regular basis, right? So just be careful about that when you're ingesting, right? Ice cream. It's delicious. You need a treat every while because you can't live in, not denial. You don't want to live in denial. That's a river somewhere in the world. It's the longest one out there. You don't want to deprive yourself of a little treat, right? I'm older now. I'm trying to watch what I take in, but every week I have like a Wednesday and a Sunday treat. Maybe a couple cookies, even an ice cream cone, something like that, with some chocolate syrup on there. I like. And once or twice a week, I'll have hot chocolate or chocolate milk. I'll make with the syrup. Hot chocolate, of course, has to have its marshmallows, right? So, one thing you want to remember about the people you bring and have in your life: you want people in your life who make you feel good about yourself. They enhance, enrich, enlighten, and empower your world, and most importantly, do things with you and for you, never to you. Remember that. When people are doing things to you, it ain't good for you, and get them out of your life and spread your actions from them as far as you can, because they could be part of the bully mentality out there, the bully syndrome. With you and for you. I'll go with you to the movies or shopping or to the restaurant, and let me do this for you. I will help you carry your bags to the car, help you take out the truck, whatever it is. You're doing stuff with and for people. This is most important for people in recovery, because people who are not in recovery do this anyway. They keep the negativity out of their life. But people in recovery have been so damaged over the years of abandonment, neglect, abuse, hostility, and violence even, and mistreatment, that they have little trust out there. So anybody who gives them attention, they're going to go along with, right? Even though they don't trust them. They're expecting negative things to happen. So when someone comes into their life that they want to do with and for, they're a little hesitant because they think, what's your ulterior motive, when there really isn't? And that's why you have to meet people and have people in your life who, like I say, enhance, enrich, enlighten, and empower your world. So that's what you want. You want people in your life who do things with you and for you and not to you. Not good when you're doing things to you. Boredom, the enemy of us all. How do you fight boredom? In the past few weeks, we've been talking about things to do, and that's the name of my book. One of my books is Power Up Your Power, which is about empowerment, which is the overall theme of You About Ready on bbsradio.com, live Tuesday nights from the beautiful downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawas Station. The other book is, one of the other books, is Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All. And we had a lot of things. We talked about the arts, right? Because a lot of creativity out there that gets not used, you don't develop it, you don't build on it, you just let it go. Oh, you take it for granted. Yeah, I used to play the piano, but not anymore. You know, I want to learn how to play the radio. But we went over things you do as art, is some, music as doing other, playing an instrument and so forth. And tonight we're going to introduce a couple of things. One is singing. Think about how good you feel, even me, like when I'm dancing down here, it's not singing. Oh, I'm singing along with Joe Cocker and Steve Winwood and everybody I listen to down here, Journey and some others, Michael McDonald and the Righteous Brothers and Eminem, who I love, because, you know, nowadays everybody's talking they got something to say, and that comes out when they move the lips, but the gibberish. And that's what the world is filled of. Gibberish, gibberish, gibberish. They're talking a lot, but they ain't saying anything. Just watch the black brainwashing box with six talking heads all screaming at each other, not letting anybody finish a statement, providing poor role modeling for our youth if they happen to be watching that stuff. It says rude, crude, and really unacceptable behavior. But we thrive on that, just the way we thrive on watching all these murder shows and bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up. What is the attraction to that? Law and Order has been on for 20 years with their various offshoots of it. What the heck is the draw about that? How miserable is our life that we have to fight? Maybe it's the bully. The bully's life is miserable. They want to make others feel worse than they do. Maybe our life is miserable, and by watching misery on TV, we don't feel so bad. I don't know. the Weather Channel does that. They put on the storms all over the country, and everybody who's not there says, boy, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not in the Arctic vortex. So you sing in the shower, and you sing in the car, right? And it's cool, right? Now, I do it. I did it when the kids were little, and as they got older, I learned not to do it because it was embarrassing. And so now I do it. That's why I like to take long drives, especially to visit them, because I'm by myself, you know, because my wife will take the airplane, and or I go because it's a down and back, which could be a long drive. But I'm out there by myself. I'm not embarrassing anybody. No one's telling me to shut up. I can sing my songs, tell my jokes, look at the country, beautiful as it is, on the great interstate highway given to us by Dwight David Eisenhower, great general, president of these here United States of America, and the highway is beautified by Lady Bird Johnson, one of the great things the Johnson family contributed. Actually, she was not a Johnson, whoever she was, but her family contributed to the beautification of rather barren, stark, empty, littered highways. So you can sing, you can join or start. How about being a leader, showing leadership, right? And trust, people will follow you. How about that? And start a chorus or a choir. You can sing in a barbershop quartet or the Sweet Adelines. You can go Christmas carol. A lot of people still do that. Even though it's inappropriate, politically incorrect, I've heard people Christmas carol. Some places have an event about it. It's very nice. Whether you participate in the Christmas season or not, music is soothing. Music is wonderful. It's healing. It's therapeutic. Music makes me lose control. You can join a local musical theater. A lot of little theater all over the country. Great places to go. You can join your house of worship choir. Many churches, synagogues, I don't know about the mosque. I don't know if they have that, but other places do. You could teach singing. Maybe you don't want to sing professionally, but you have the power to teach. That's a great thing, especially beginners. If you're really good, you can go play opera, right? You can harmonize on the street corner like they did in Rocky, and like we did back in Philadelphia on the in the high school and on the streets. I couldn't do it because I've always had a deviated septum. You might hear that in my voice coming at you live on bbsradio.com. But singing is not one of my strong suits. Or chanting, I can hum pretty good. I'm sure there are voice clubs out there where people get together and just sing for the sake of singing, and they feel good about themselves. So that's one way to fight boredom. It's a weekly, or not a weekly, but could be a regularly scheduled activity where you're part of something. You have a belonging. Most important word we have, one of the most important words we have in our world, is inclusion. The bully has always been excluded, or else they've been made to feel that way by their actions and behaviors. No one wants to bully them, or no one wants to be around them because they bully everybody. I just saw a great example of that on one of the professional football teams. One of the teams that was fighting for a playoff spot has one really star name brand player that everybody goes, and he was on the sidelines, and he was going around because he had just messed up something out there on the field, and he's going around to his fellow teammates, going up, getting in their face, come on, man, let's go, let's go, let's go. And you know what they all did? They all walked away. They turned away. The camera stayed on this guy for maybe a minute, which is a long time. Not on the owner, which they normally do, which is why their team never wins, but this one player had his teammates turn away. I ain't listening to you. Put up or shut up. You're not performing out there. You mess up. But when someone else messes up, you go right in their face and yell and scream out, and you walk off the field with a minute and a half to go in the game. So what kind of leadership is that? So you take the initiative. Build a voice club. You can also dance. I mean, I look as silly as anybody when it comes to dancing. I mean, there's nothing worse than going to like a formal affair, like a wedding or a confirmation or something like that, and seeing a room full of white people trying to dance. It's pitiful, right? We just don't have that swagger. There's nothing wrong with it. Some do, mostly the girls and the women, which is fine, because maybe they're built for that. I don't know. But the room just looks awful. I mean, I've stood back and watched it, and I've participated in it. We just don't move. We're out of sync with the beat of the music or the song or something. But we do have fun. We do let loose. The shoes come off. The ties come undone. The jackets go off. The shirts are out of the pants. The vests come off. Sweaters come off. We're having a good time, right? Running around. It's great. But I look as silly as anyone when it comes to dancing. Certain social, I have no problem embarrassing myself for the sake of having some fun. My real goal, and I love salsa music because it's got energy. It's got spirit. It's got passion. It's to visit a salsa-type dance hall because I do love the energy of the music. once I get caught up in the atmosphere, I am confident I will shake something before the night is through. Not break something, shake it. And I do shake it in here a little bit as much as I can, especially after basketball on Tuesday nights prior to coming on the air. But it's fun. It's enjoyable. And it's a good workout. Where do you think aerobics was born from, right? When I was in the military, I was one of the only guys who actually enjoyed marching in the parade. When the big drum sounded, the left foot came down. I was in step. I was in rhythm. I was in beat. I was part of a whole. And we moved. We had a drill instructor who was what they called a master drill instructor. And we did moves outside of the mess hall that, yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll go over the dancing you can do next week on You Bow Ready It with Marty Ford on bbsradio.com. We're going to finish up right now, and we're going to go off the air. We have other things to do tonight, but I want you to become empowered. The whole purpose of this is for you to be able to feel good about yourself, like what you're doing, accomplish more than you ever thought possible by doing what you do best and a little bit more. This is Marty Ford signing off until next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone with You Bow Ready on bbsradio.com. The time is now to power up your power, because the power is in you.